Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Just after 5 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. I probably should share a little information. The reason Dan Ball has a flannel on today is very specific. And what is that, Dan? Do you want me to tell him or you want to tell him?
It is Odyssey Boston's Flannel Fest 2025 out in the parking lot right now, as a matter of fact. So people are actually having fun just outside this building.
Oh, yeah. I can literally see the cooler where there are adult beverages right out the window if I look to the right here at the studio. In fact, Wiggy may or may not have one in his hand right now out there.
Really?
Did you see Wiggy at the game last night? I was wondering if he was getting nice seats, of course.
Of course. Well, they had Wick Grosbeck in the other day.
Wick, I was like, where's Wick? He's not in his – oh, they moved him to the side there. He's not sitting in those middle seats anymore. That'd be the new owner.
Yes.
But he was still there just on the side there. And then you see Wiggy, of course, on the second row. And I just wondered if he – did you see the guy sitting in front of him? It was hard to miss. He was wearing a Louis Vuitton bucket hat.
Oh, I did see that
guy. I saw this too.
Yeah. And I said to Robin, I was like, look at that guy wearing a Louis. Don't say anything. He might be something. Like, yeah, he might be, but I don't know. Like, you're going to wear a Louis Vuitton bucket hat?
He looked ridiculous.
Like, come on, bro.
Like,
really?
I probably can't afford the hat. I have no idea how much the hat costs.
No, it probably costs thousands of dollars, right, that hat.
Yeah, just wear a $5,000 bill on your head, Andy.
Yeah, but you'd have to pay me to wear that hat. Yeah. Like, Louis Vuitton would have to be like, would you be willing to wear this?
That dude thought he was styling and profiling with that Louis Vuitton bucket hat in front of Wiggy. I was like, I wonder if Wiggy can see over that hat.
Rich-ass Celtics fan Gilligan was at the game last night. Yes, Dan Ball.
I don't know if this matches your Host One budget, but retailing right now between $510 and $810 for a Louis Vuitton.
So I can afford it. I just wouldn't possibly ever.
Yeah, it's just a gigantic waste of money.
Come on,
like,
man.
That's a hat that if Stiz cleaned out his apartment and put it on the table in the kitchen, like his DVDs, I'd pick it up. And I'd put it back down, and I'd walk away. I wouldn't take it.
It's weird. It'd be like wearing a Louis Vuitton raincoat inside. Like, there's no practicality to wearing a bucket hat at an NBA game. Practicality at all.
Except what happened.
I noticed him.
We're talking about it. Yep, you noticed your eye is drawn to it.
But I'm not going, oh, that guy is so cool wearing that bucket hat.
Well, you know, any publicity is good publicity. Attention. Fitzy said, for all we know, he's like an influencer, and now he's getting all these pictures out there. He's in the gossip columns or whatever.
Mm.
Could be.
Mm.
Maybe he got exactly what he wanted.
It's
505.05. Nailed it. It's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. Into left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So the Celtics did indeed have opening night in front of Louis Vuitton buckethead guy at the Garden. And it was a strange game in so many ways. Lineups and Joel Embiid is...
Substitution pattern?
Substitution for the Celtics. Joel Embiid is a carcass. I think he's toast from what I saw last night.
Ooh.
But luckily, the guy they took in the first round, VJ Edgecombe, had literally, and I know we overuse that word, the best debut since Wilt.
He literally was better than LeBron, than Allen Iverson, anyone you want. He had 34 points. Maxey had 40. And the Celtics lose 117-116. They blow a fourth quarter lead. I believe it was 13 points that they blew. And Jaylen Brown got a rebound. They had the ball with 9 seconds left. They had a timeout that their coach didn't want them to call, but Jaylen Brown called. And I think I know why, because the coach or whoever draws up the plays doesn't draw up good plays because the inbound
play. That's one
theory. That's my theory.
There's two theories.
What's the second theory?
The analytics would tell you that you have a better chance of scoring by not getting their defense to set.
Yeah.
But I think it's the one you just said.
I think coach wants that.
I think he's terrified of drawing. And did you see the play he came up with from the out of bounds after they called the timeout?
Not great.
That he didn't want to call?
Yep.
It wasn't good, was it?
No, it was not. Ended up, and I know this because I saw, you're going to get taken down by the NBA, I saw screen captures from Ted Johnson making the rounds where he had, like, frame by frame exactly what Peyton Pritchard did. He got the ball, he drove into the key, and then as Dan Ball put it, he hopped around like you're playing a video game and don't know which button lets you shoot. He pump fake, and then ended up getting blocked partially and then also partially by the bottom of the rim. The ball goes out of bounds. Then they have to inbound it again with one and change left. It goes to Pritchard again, almost like the Sixers were okay with Pritchard having the ball with the game on the line. He misses again, and they lose. So let's hear from the leader of the Celtics, 25 points, 15 assist-worthy plays, Jaylen Brown. We're going to hear from his leadership before we have the character assassination from Scal. So let's hear Jaylen Brown.
It's going to be a learning experience from day one. We got a bunch of new guys. We're playing a new style. I thought we played hard today. I thought we played a winnable game. We just, you know, some crucial errors that cost us. We'll learn from this. We'll learn how to close. We'll learn how to, you know, spots where we could be better. And that's what it's about. I'm not looking for my guys to hang our head whatsoever. We just get ready for the next one. On the road for the first time, it's going to be a good test for our group.
What do you think of that, Ted Johnson? Those comments from your leader.
You know what? That's just typical. You know, just doesn't want to really be honest with himself. And that's okay.
Wow. Yeah, no, I mean, let's say it is not what we talked about in the pre-production.
New leader, same old problem. Still can't execute. Just terrible, terrible clutch time basketball from the Celtics. I mean, just the coach. Unbelievable. Some of the coaching mistakes that you just show up time and time again. It doesn't matter that Jason Tatum is on the bench and that JB is your leader because, I mean, it looks the same when it comes to crunch time. And this is a team that's got to win on the margins. This isn't a team that's going to be blowing teams away. So you got to be smarter than what they've been. And so the talent isn't going to carry you and overcome the deficiencies you have in your scheme or in your coaching anymore. And this is why I think there's a little bit of a tightness to Joe Mazzulla this preseason going into the season. Is I think his coaching philosophy and style is going to be on the spotlight more than it's ever been. And in that game, there were so many different examples of bad coaching. I'm sorry, Tyrese Maxey has 5 fouls with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And you don't challenge him. You don't attack him. He gets 3 3-pointers after that. And when he's with 5 fouls, that's a joke. You know how many times that happened last year when their best player had 5 fouls and Joe Mazzulla doesn't attack him, doesn't go after him? It was an amazing, to me, the inbounds play with Jaylen Brown, whatever that inbounds play was horrible. It's just, why didn't JB demand the ball? You're the best player. Demand the ball. Fight to get open. And he didn't do that. That was kind of disappointing. Just poor execution, a recurring theme. Why didn't you have a better game plan for that rookie? It's almost like they didn't even know who VJ Edgecombe was. I mean, Scal knew exactly who it was. That kid, you guys, is – that team went from being front court dominant to a back court dominant team right now. And it's – you talk about the dead weight that team's carrying with Joel Embiid, Paul George. Hell, Eric Gordon's on that team. Heck, who else? Kyle Lowry is on that team.
Yeah.
You talk about the dead weight, those guys, that team is going to be a young, fun team because of those two guys. VJ Edgecombe, oh my gosh, that kid, watch out. He is a stud.
Fitzy, are we overthinking this? Is it as simple as, because we've done this for years. Just look at the three-point percentage and you can usually tell whether the Celtics won. Last night they went 11 of 43, 25%. Are we like digging too deep in the weeds other than to say, well, if they shot a little better from three, which they probably will because your guy Derek White and others will be a little bit better, they win the game?
Yeah, they shot 27% from three last night. Unacceptable in Missoula ball or the modern NBA. Sure, it could be that simple as well. Or in process of shooting 27% from three, maybe you can come up with better inbounds plays. Maybe you can put a hat on a hat vis-a-vis, get somebody on Maxi. Ted, he went 7 of 9 from 3, got those three threes after he had the five fouls on him last night. 40 points overall, loosely defended at best. No game plan for Edgecombe, like you said. It's almost like they came into the game expecting the 2020 NBA All-Star team of Embiid, Paul George, I know George wasn't there, Lowry, etc., to be the factor in the front court. But yeah, like you said, they're a backcourt team. And here's my biggest bone that I have to pick with Missoula. You say this is a game that they're going to have to win in the margins. Andy, you said earlier, like, this could be the difference between being a seven seed or being a play-in team. You need Jaylen Brown is inarguably their best player. Some nights somebody else will play better. I know, Andy, that's going to be difficult for you. You'll have to put away the wetsuit and the chocolate frosting for another night. However, on nights like last night, when there's no definitive best player, but you have the lead the whole way through, the guy that needs to come through in the clutch the most is Joe Mazzulla. He's got to find a way to make sure they do everything they can to protect that lead and pull across the finish line first. He failed his team last night miserably, and because of that, they have a one-point loss, and that's why you got that very contrite, humble version of Joe in the postgame.
So I agree. I think Joe Mazzulla had a bad game. I think if you were making your top three opposite of stars, bums from the game, or reasons you lost, I think Joe Mazzulla is at the top of the list. Did Jaylen Brown have a good game? Ted, I'll start with you.
I don't think so. I think it would look. I mean, you know, the stat sheet he filled up, but when it comes to the most important, you know, moments of the game, he was nowhere to be found.
Get the audio ready. Get his scale ready.
If you watch him on that second to last possession, he's screening for Peyton Pritchard. Like, come on, bro. But that second to last one, the inbounds play, he doesn't fight to get open, and it just drove me nuts. And Scal had to say this after the game about exactly what I'm talking about.
I always use one play in particular because it's a play that everybody and their mom have seen. It is when Michael Jordan shot that shot against the Cleveland Cavaliers. He had three guys on him. He went one way, went another way, went another way, went another way to get a catch. Then he two dribbled, elevated, shot on Elo. The shot is good, right? We've seen that. But what we have to understand is how hard he worked to get a catch. Right? When you watch, our best player, Jaylen Brown, has to work that hard to get a catch. Simple. You're that good of a player. You are elite at what you do. If you think that a team is going to allow you to get a catch, it just doesn't work like that. You have to work hard to first get the ball, then let your talent shine.
You ever watch Kobe Bryant? You ever watch Steph Curry? You watch Jordan, the play that everyone knows, that play against Cleveland he's talking about. They worked so hard just to get open, just to make the catch, to shoot the ball. And I didn't see that. Jaylen is like, he made one move, they had it covered, and then he just stops. And he gives up on the play.
So doesn't that kind of take Mazzulla off the hook? Isn't there a little bit more? And I don't necessarily agree with your argument, but if your argument is the argument,
what do you disagree about it? Like, what is it about?
I don't think Jaylen Brown has the quickness of those guys.
First of all. My gosh! It's about effort and attitude and compete level.
So you think
level.
He has bad effort
in that play? Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not going to start questioning his effort. I think he's shown more
play,
effort
that
for this team
that was not good effort
in the last
that play.
5 years than anybody has. I think he's been the most effort-based player.
But in that play, when the team needed him the most,
so what does that tell you?
What do you mean, what does that tell me?
So if a guy that you acknowledge that may have more effort than anybody in the last 5 years for the Celtics, is there a reason?
I'm just saying, look, I'm not questioning his overall effort, but on that play, I am questioning it.
So that, yeah. But that's my point. I'm not going to question it because to me that says either the hamstring is bothering him, wasn't really designed for him, as all the players said it was. Like, there's got to be a reason. He didn't decide my first night as the alpha number one with the game on the line. You know what I'm not going to do? Give as much effort as I have for the last 5 years.
Why would the guy who covers the team, a former player, say those words? That's pretty critical what he had to say. You think he's just making that up?
Oh, I have no answer to that because I've never heard Scal be that critical on that station. And I don't. The change, to me, is alarming. It feels like character assassination. It feels like like because the prince isn't around anymore, we're going to go after the next guy. Yes, Dan Ball.
Is it possible, and Ted, I'm curious your thoughts on this as well, that we haven't seen Jaylen Brown as much in crunch time when it comes to effort, just because the ball is usually in Jason Tatum's hands in those situations?
Hey, man, you know what? Keep coming. I don't know. Yeah, keep coming up with excuses.
I mean, these are all possible. He's going to learn. Maybe he's talking about himself in that. You know, we're learning, we're this, but that. He's used to standing around with the game on the line. Why? Because we're just going to give it to Tatum. He's going to dribble, dribble, drive, dribble, dribble, shoot.
He gets an occasional three when it matters, Andy. And I can remember a game in the postseason a couple years ago where JB hit a pretty pivotal three-pointer from
the
line.
Me too. One of the more ridiculous you'll ever see. So I do find it weird that Scal is attacking him like that.
You're talking about his hamstring. Gasper, after the game, one of the questions, one of the 12 questions that was asked Joe Mazzulla, I listened to all the questions, was about did he look like he had his full explosiveness to something?
Yes.
And Joe was like, yeah, no, he was fine. Yeah. So it wasn't hamstring.
But he was also, you know, stretching on the bench area. He clearly, I don't know if it was bothering him, he was paying attention to it. Now, whether that's preventative and he wants to make sure it doesn't reach the, I don't know. But that was on his mind. That could be an excuse, may not be an excuse. And I actually want to go back and watch it again. I want to see the effort or lack thereof that drew the unprecedented ire. Not from you. I figured you'd be hatcheting him all up after this game. It's Scal that has me really wondering why game one of what's already going to be a weird season for them and for Brown and for the team and the whole thing. Really, you're right. I've never heard Scal on like a post-game show really dive into a criticism like that. But it is part of it. I think they're going to regret this loss. Now, my other question, you mentioned it earlier, Ted. What was your reaction early in the game when they, like, emptied the bench in the first quarter? It was like, I think it was 10 guys in 10 minutes.
10 guys, and there's still 3 minutes left in the first quarter.
Like, what are we doing?
They subbed, I think they subbed Tillman in for Kata with just 3 minutes had gone off on the clock.
Like,
look, but and that's kind of what they told Joe. It made it sound like, you know, we're going to be doing the same thing we always do. Okay, Joe, it's your actions would say. I mean, the substitution patterns were unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yes,
like, so it's an up tempo. It's they want to keep guys fresh, and so it's going to be a lot more mixing and matching and bringing guys in. And the substitution patterns that we so had become accustomed to knowing kind of exactly what he was doing, I'm not going to have any idea with for the first month.
So the first thing I thought of, Fitzy, and this is a snarky response to it, remember when they were like, yeah, we can't get Jason Tatum in an Olympic game. We got all these guys on the roster. I'm like, wait, Joe Mazzulla can get like Josh Minot and whoever the hell else was in there in the first 10 minutes, but you couldn't in a whole game.
Preseason hero Josh Minot.
Yeah, like I just... It feels weird. The whole thing felt weird. Yes, Dan Ball.
Well, there's a slight difference there. I mean, with Olympic players, the rotation.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
clearly had a point. Like, Derek White played because he's a defensive dynamo, moves the ball well, right. Whatever. Each guy had a role.
Right.
What I saw at the beginning of the game yesterday was similar to how in our season preview, there were a bunch of guys where we went, yeah, I don't really know how they're going to fit in.
Sure.
I think the coaching staff had that exact same revelation in real time. I think there's a bunch of guys, depth players on this roster, that they have next to no idea how they fit into the puzzle right
so
now.
So you're telling me, much the way we used to hear that September is an extension right. of the preseason in the NFL, mid-October is an extension of the preseason in the NBA now?
I bet you Brad Stevens wouldn't quite put it that way, but that's kind of what he would probably say. Yeah, that's my feeling. He basically said in the pregame, yeah, the lineups are going to be interesting. They're going to be, we're not going to know which the lineups is going to be from night to night. So, yeah, I think that's kind of, and that buys them, it lets them off the hook. Let's be honest. It does.
Yes, it absolutely does.
Because you don't have enough time to be, casual about, your lineups, because every game's going to matter at the end when you're is not as good as you've been the last few years, right?
Yeah, but they've been off the hook since late May. Like, this entire season is off the hook. This just gives them this gives them more off the hook to say that they're experimenting. They have to figure out their rotations and their abilities. But if you're going to play 10 guys in 10 minutes, why do three guys like Walsh or most especially Shireman and Hugo Gonzalez, why do they not get a sniff, a whiff, or even a freaking minute on the court? That makes no sense to me.
Shireman didn't get much play in the preseason either. In the times he did, he didn't perform well. Right. So it's like he's in, Joe's, he's
effing around and figuring it out.
he's trying to motivate guys. I think he's trying to bring out the best. Subbing guys in and out, he's teaching guys lessons in the preseason. Okay, they didn't get that rebound. You know what? Get out. I'm putting someone else in. You better go back in there and rebound. So he's kind of got this hardo approach. I hope it works, man. I hope it works.
He's 0-1, Dan Ball.
I got a question for Ted Johnson while we have a moment. Ted, what did you make? So you said you listened to the whole press conference at the end. 12 questions.
12 questions.
What did you think of the questions that were asked and the responses, kind of the vibe of the what was going on after the game?
Well, let me put it to you this way, Dan. I'm glad you asked. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is like some of the questions
just
I would.
The question that popped into my mind.
Some of the questions I would want to ask Joe Mazzulla if I was sitting there in front of him at the press conference. Hey, Joe, why didn't you guys attack Tyrese Maxey? He had 5 fouls with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Why didn't you guys go after him? Nope, that question was, why didn't you call a timeout after that rebound? Why did you want to, keep playing and not call a timeout? Nope, that question. Why didn't Peyton Pritchard pass that ball? You talk about 2-on-1. So how about a 3-on-1? Were you okay with the decision Peyton Pritchard made there? Were you okay with how JB didn't demand the ball? Why didn't you have a better game plan for rookie phenom VJ Edgecombe? That kind of stuff. And I counted all the questions. There were 12 questions in that press conference, okay, that Joe Mazzulla, not one person asked about the 3 points, about JB, about Tyrese Maxey. None of the questions, the pertinent questions, the real questions that should have been asked were asked. And I wonder why that was. Why was that, I wonder?
Why do you believe?
What do you think? What do you think?
They're afraid of him because they got their asses kicked in the media game.
They got humiliated, and they were taught a lesson. And so they were all sitting there going, oh, my God, I don't want him to beat me up again and do full-court press on me. None of them asked real questions that were the honest questions that needed to be asked. And I think Joe won the psychological battle because of that damn pickup game. He got exactly what he wanted out of that game.
So what you're saying is we need to get Ted Johnson credentialed to go cover a Celtics game.
Not my job, brother.
To then sit front row and ask questions. And once he's credentialed for a Celtics game,
not my job.
He's then eligible to play in the media game next year, and we'll see if Ted Johnson gets bullied by Joe Mazzulla and his assistants.
That is kind of tempting, though. I do have a little bit of...
You're in the media.
A little bloodlust for that. You want to press me? Okay, let's see.
I'd pay to see that.
All right.
Me too.
I literally would pay to see that.
Man. Bo, I got a forehead that's still hard. All right, let's see.
And Mark Schlereth can attribute.
But it was just interesting. No, none of those guys asked the questions they should have asked.
So does that make you think that there was a long play at hand that Mazzulla decided to do that media game? Like, we're probably going to suck this year. I don't know if I really feel like facing all these questions.
It was to teach them a lesson for all the questions they were asking and to put them in their place so that they're scared to ask them tough questions down the road, I think. And it worked.
Dan Ball and I have been, in whatever is the opposite of Missoula's corner ever since that game, and especially all this week.
So we have a late candidate for text of the day, and I no longer say best or worst. I just say text of the day, and it is the 774. Tillman Sr. sucks. How old is Tillman Jr.? Already calling for the junior version of Tillman. Yeah, it wasn't a great night. The Celtics will bounce back on Friday. On Jaylen Brown Day in the city of Boston, they'll be in New York. I may have to wear my JB jersey. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we need to get back to this update on the NBA scandal, which now includes at least tangentially LeBron James. His name has been dragged into this along with, on a much higher level, Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier. The NBA has a gambling issue. The FBI is sniffing around, and Ted Johnson has some very interesting thoughts on why that is. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.